Well, good morning. It's another beautiful day. Happy to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to come down and talk with you and visit with you. Hopefully we can say something that might encourage you a little bit. I know as you look at things of the life, you live a life, you have things happen in your life, you think it's going to go on forever. Both good and bad. Good things happen to you, and you hope it'll just stay like that, and it doesn't. But it's the same way with bad things. Bad things happen, and you think, well, it's going to be like that forever, and it's not. 475 times in the Bible, there is a phrase. That phrase is, it came to pass. I heard a comedian one time that Christian comedian named Mark Lowry, and he said it says it came to pass, doesn't say it came to stay. And I know that's a little bit of a play on words, and it's not always accurate, but it is in many respects. The bad things that happen, the trials and tribulations that we go through are not permanent. They are things that came to pass. You know, and man became so evil that God decided he was done with man. He decided that he was going to destroy man and didn't want any more to do with him. He said, I don't even know why I made him. In Genesis 7 and verse 9, then went in two and two unto Noah in the ark, male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. God was angry. He found Noah. Noah pleased him, so he had Noah build an ark. He took in these animals, he went up, and then God opened up on the earth. Just opened up the fountains of the sky, opened up the fountains of the deep, flooded the earth with water. He was angry. He was getting out his frustration on man. He was taking vengeance and taking justice on the men and women of the earth. But I want you to notice what he said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. He says, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters turned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And in Genesis 8, then verse 13, it says, it came to pass in the 600th and first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. And behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now, if you've been on the ark with Noah and you've been bouncing around like a bobber in a storm-tossed sea, you might have begun to wonder if this was going to last forever. But it didn't. God remembered it. God remembered it. And so when we're going through trials in our life, when we're going through bad times, we're going through issues and this and that, whatever you want to call them, we're going through problems and we think, it's never going to end. Is it never going to end? But it does. It does. God remembers His people. You know, we oftentimes feel like God has forgotten us, but He never does. He allows us to go through trials. He allows us to go through problems. Sometimes, you know, they're our own. Sometimes they're some that just come upon us. But God always remembers His people. Sodom became so wicked that God decided He was going to destroy it. Remember that story. And in Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, it says, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham. Here he was angry with the people of the plain. They were committing horrible sins, much like what's going on today. I might add. They were doing these things, and it made God very angry. And he said, I'm going to destroy that city. Going to destroy that city. But when he went to do that, he remembered Abraham. He said, well, what's Abraham got to do with the cities of the plain? Well, he made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to him. He remembered that although these people were evil, although this city did deserve to be destroyed, that Abraham's nephew was there. So what did he do? He sent angels to go and pull Lot out before he destroyed it. See, no matter what the problem, no matter what comes upon us, God remembers his people. And he'll pull them out. He will pull them out or bring them through. He'll do whatever he has to do because he's not unrighteous. God is a very righteous. He's a righteous God. He remembers his people. He always will. Always will. He even set a bow in the cloud to remember the flood. He said he wasn't going to bring a flood anymore. And he set a bow in the cloud. I just love to see a rainbow. Because you know God promised he would look down upon that rainbow. And when he saw that, he said, I'll never destroy the flesh with the flood again. So when you're looking up at a rainbow, God's looking down at that rainbow. Did you ever think about it like that? Kind of a little connection between you and God. He's remembering what he said he'd do. Remember the children of Israel when they went down to Egypt. They'd been there and they had really just turned them into slaves because Pharaoh had risen that didn't know Joseph. He didn't want them to rise up against him militarily, so he put them to work. And they had been in that bondage and they were crying out. In Exodus 2, verse 23, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God remembered. Didn't we talk about that before, church? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 41. Here's what God said about his people. And it's true. And if you read through the Old Testament, you'll see it. He said, that I also walked contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember the covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. And that really and truly is what it boiled down to. God allowed the children of Israel to go into slavery. He allowed them to go into bondage. He allowed them to go into captivity. But he did all these things not because he wanted to destroy them. He did these things because he wanted to teach them. To show them that there was consequences to actions. You know, whether it was something they decided or something they just let slide, there was still consequences to that. And he probably will still do us that way today. But remember, he's not going to leave his people in that position. In Psalms 78, verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Well, here's a time when he was angry with them. But listen to what it says. For all this they sin still, and believe not his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, when he got down to where he was just flat killing them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. You know, and that'll happen sometimes. When we get to where we are at rock bottom, it is then that we think, oh yeah, God. God. And there's nothing wrong with that, but listen to what they did. It said, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. So here's what happened. The children of Israel got to where God was just simply slaying them. And all at once they said, oh yeah, God is our rock. God's our redeemer. Oh, we love you. We praise you. But they didn't mean it. And God knew it. God knows. Their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. They turned to God, but they didn't really want to follow him. But listen to what he says. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh. A wind that passeth away cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? God's pretty patient. God's pretty patient. Verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand or the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Children of Israel, and I get aggravated sometimes when I read the book. I do. I get aggravated with children of Israel. And I tell you why is because God was doing all these mighty and wonderful works. And they would just turn back. And they'd forget about it. You know, and you think about this. When they come out of the land of Egypt, God performed all those miracles. All of those miracles on the land of Egypt. He took for that time, what would have been considered a very highly progressed civilization and utterly brought it to its knees just so they could leave. That's the only reason. Just so they could leave. And how long was they out in the wilderness? How long was Moses on the mountain? Was it 40 days? 40 days? 2-3 weeks? What'd they say? We want something to worship. Make us a calf. Now, every time I read it, I think, are you kidding me? Are you serious? It's been like, what, a month? And you've forgotten everything that God did for you in Egypt? But then I think, you know what? We do the exact same thing. We'll turn around and we'll follow God for a week or two. And then we'll get comfortable. And then we'll wander away. And we'll go off chasing our own little bunny trail. And I'm thinking, are you serious? God done mighty works in your life and now you're just off chasing something else. I guess it's human nature. Bad nature. Start to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he did, we wouldn't be here. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You realize that the impact of that statement, as high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how great God's mercy is to them that fear him. If you fear God, the amount of mercy that he shows you is just incredible. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Get in an airplane. Go over to Atlanta. Get on an airplane. Fly west. Fly west just as long as you can. Fill it up. Fly again. When do you hit east? You don't. That's how far God separates us from our iniquities. When he forgives the sin, it's gone. It's gone. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, he flourisheth. Wind passeth over it, it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's how good our God is. He will bless your grandchildren if you follow after him. He will pity us as a father pitieth his children. He'll remove our transgressions. His mercy is great. That's our God. It came to pass, didn't come to stay. How true that is. God will remember us. God will remember us. Sometimes when we're in the midst of a storm, we think, well, it's our own fault. And, you know, sometimes it is. Just be real honest with you. Sometimes it is just our fault, plain and simple. Sometimes, though, it is absolutely none of our doing. Sometimes we do everything right and it still goes south. Sorry about that. Goes bad. Sometimes it still goes bad. But in those tempests of life, in those trials, God is faithful. And it may sound like a cliche, but you know, sometimes God, he hadn't promised to take us out of the storms, but he has promised to hold us while it's storming. He hadn't always said that he'd heal every disease, but you can find comfort in it. He hadn't said he's going to take away every problem. God didn't promise us that life would be easy. What he promised us was that he would never leave us. I will never leave nor forsake you. Psalm 105, verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Can you imagine that? I cannot imagine it. I make a promise to somebody and I might forget it. Not intentionally, I just forget about it. But God remembers his promises for a thousand generations or more. Which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, confirm the same unto Jacob for all, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You realize that when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were traveling around, and Abraham especially when he was traveling around, and there was no one to protect Abraham. Abraham had to protect himself. But the point was, God was protecting him. When God's people were wandering around, and there was just very few of them, God said, "Don't touch my people. Don't touch my people." And he can do the same thing today, and does, and will, if you follow after him with a true and a whole heart. Those are my anointing. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. To a thousand generations. What did that culminate in eventually? Culminated in the coming of Christ. Culminated in his death upon the cross when all sin was forgiven. When that ultimate debt was paid. When sin was not only removed but obliterated. Now he's made another promise. He kept that one, now he's made another one. And that is, I will come back. I will come back. He's promised. No matter what happens on this earth, no matter how stupid our government gets, no matter how much people turn to sin, Christ said, "I'll come back. I'll come back." And when he comes back, he's not going to come back as a meek and lowly baby. He's not going to come back riding on a borrowed mule into a city. He's going to come back as a conquering king. He'll come back, and with the breath of his mouth, he's going to wipe things out. Now, do you want to be his friend at that time? Or do you want to be his enemy? That's the question. Do you want to be the enemy of God? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." It perished. I said, "Well, where's Christ? I don't see him come back." You see Christ? I don't see Christ. Everything's just like it's always been. He said, they're ignorant. He said, the earth was once standing and God overflowed it with water. He said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the very same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God had sent Christ back. He's being patient. He's waiting on us. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hasting into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? You know, Brother Al, just eating, we was eating ice cream out there. He mentioned all these survivalists. We was talking about the end of time, you know, because that's what we talked about last night. He was talking about what are they going to do with all their gold, because when it burns up, it'll all melt and go away. And I said, well, what about diamonds? Silly me, I didn't know a diamond had burned. But apparently it does when it gets hot enough. What are you going to save? What do you save against today when the heavens and the earth melt with fervent heat? You don't. You don't save anything, because nothing will be left. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent. Be just focused. Be working so hard. He said, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. He said, is salvation to somebody. The fact that he didn't come back yesterday is going to be in turn toward salvation for somebody. He says, so you just bide your time. Just be patient. You just wait. You just be diligent. Make yourself just as clean as you can, because he's coming back. He said, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written it to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You know, even Peter said, some things Paul wrote, I don't get. He said, some of them he wrote are a little bit hard to be understood. And he said, and then people will take them and then they'll just twist them around. I think of a lot of 1 Corinthians when I think of that. He said, they'll twist them. But he said, they do that with everything. They twist everything. He said, it's to their own destruction. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We know it's coming. We know it's going to happen. We know there's trials in this life, but the trials should not turn us away from God. They should turn us towards God. Because he has promised. Promised he'll never leave us. He's also promised that he's going to come back. He said, if you know that, you've been told that, you've been warned about it. He said, now, what ought you to do? Well, he said, you ought to study. You ought to get as much knowledge as you can about God. You ought to grow in grace. You ought to grow in your trust of God. And you ought to be ready for his return. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. No matter what the problem in your life, it's temporary. No matter what good things are going on in your life, as far as physical things, they're temporary. Everything on this life is temporary. The only thing that's permanent is our service to God. That's all. If you're here this morning, you need the help of the church in any way, we invite you to come forward.